This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. By now, we all know that the food we eat has a huge impact on our health. But producing food requires land, water, nutrients, and in our globalized world, packaging and transportation. And that means that our dietary choices also have a big environmental impact. Researchers at the University of New Hampshire, Tufts University, and Hampshire College have pulled together data about the full life cycle of hundreds of foods. Not surprisingly, they find significant differences in the sustainability of different diets, and they say this kind of information should be incorporated into federal dietary guidelines. Miriam Nelson is president of Hampshire College. She led this work and has previously led nutrition and sustainability research at UNH and Tufts University. She was also an advisor on the most recent U.S. dietary guidelines. Miriam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
One of the things that you note in the discussion of this study is that sustainability and environmental impacts, you can be concerned about those for their own end, but they also have indirect health impacts. It kind of comes full circle and all comes back to us. Can you explain that?
Yes. When we think about our nutrition, we want to make sure that it is supporting our own health, but that we also want to make sure that we aren't causing any harm in the short term or in the long term. And that's where we really get into sustainable diets. And so a sustainable diet is one that supports us now, but is also respectful for the environment and is socially just and economically affordable. And right now, with some of the practices, the way that food is produced, that there's actually indirect health consequences with pollution in water, with carbon that is going up into our atmosphere and causing climate change, and also affecting the workers that are producing this food. So all of this can actually have an indirect effect on our health. So it's not just the food that we put into our mouths, but it's also how that food is grown. So it's full circle.
The diets that you looked at all meet U.S. dietary guidelines. Can you actually just outline some of the basics? I mean, we made this shift with the last set of guidelines, right, from the food pyramid that got taught for decades to the plate as a diagram for the recommendations. What are those recommendations at this point?
So there are three patterns that are outlined in the dietary guidelines for Americans to make sure that there is a range of different patterns of food that is culturally appropriate. And one is a healthy U.S. diet, which is a pretty standard U.S. diet. The second one is a Mediterranean style diet that has more seafood, more vegetables and fruits. And then there is a healthy vegetarian, which is an ovo-lacto. So it does have eggs and some dairy, but does not have other animal meats. So there's three different patterns that are outlined in the dietary guidelines.
And to build those patterns, you specifically looked at 321 different foods that would be parts of those diets and looked really at the full life cycle, you know, not just greenhouse gas emissions from farming, but, you know, you're looking at a whole host of different things. Where did you get all this data?
Well, we got it from a number of different data sources, and there are some very good life cycle analysis sites that we were able to tap into. But what we did was we looked at these three patterns of eating that are deemed to be very healthy. And then we looked at the actual foods that made up those patterns. We got that information from the USDA, and then we were able to look at the life cycle assessment for five different parameters for all of these foods: climate change, looking at carbon emissions, land use, water use, and water quality, both fresh and marine, and also air pollution.
Let's dig into a couple of those. Land use, water use, those are very intuitive. But you specifically, when you say water quality, you are specifically looking at nutrient pollution, essentially, in either fresh water or in ocean water. How does food production play into those issues?
What happens with both freshwater and with marine salt water is that there is runoff from farms, whether it's manure, whether it's fertilizer, other inputs that go into the land to produce those foods, and especially with nitrogen and phosphorus, we call it eutrophication, and those runoffs is really what's related to water pollution, and it can cause the real choking of these water sources with different kinds of marine life, and then there's no oxygen. So it's really related to basic water pollution with nitrogen and phosphorus for the most part.
I was really surprised to see that, looking specifically at that metric, the U.S. diet actually contributes less to this nutrient pollution in freshwater and to a lesser extent in marine waters than does the Mediterranean diet, which is much heavier on seafood. What accounts for that?
Well, they were pretty close. What accounts for that is there is more seafood. I think it really relates to the seafood production.
So we're talking about like aquaculture-based seafood.
Exactly.
Ah,
yes.
Okay.
But they're quite close. And in fact, the results showed us that the Mediterranean style pattern of eating and the U.S. healthy style, which is an omnivore's diet, they were quite similar across the board. It was the healthy vegetarian diet that was 42 to 84% lower in the environmental impacts on 4 out of 5 of them.
It's not necessarily a surprise that a vegetarian diet would come out with less environmental impact. We've been hearing that for years. But what you were just mentioning there, the dramatic difference, 42 to 84% less, were you surprised by how different it was?
Whenever you do research, you're always surprised by some of the findings. That's what makes being a scientist so wonderful. I think it was the magnitude of the change that was so different. We knew that the vegetarian style was lower, but this was really the first time to actually look at specific foods, not just look at animal foods and look at vegetables, but look at a whole pattern of eating. It was the same use of fresh water with all three of them, which would make sense because we need a lot of fresh water to produce fruits and vegetables and seeds and nuts. That was the same, but the other four was dramatically different.
When you're looking at this data that you've got and it shows how dramatically different the sustainability of these different dietary choices is, and then you look at U.S. dietary guidelines, it's nowhere in there. You tried to get it in to the last round. What was the pushback?
Well, I had the privilege of serving on the 2015 Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee with my colleagues, and we felt that this was the right time to really look at the evidence, because the Dietary Guidelines has always been very, very focused on food security. And we know that we have to have sustainable diets in order to have food in the future for the next generation. So it seemed like the right time, and there was more and more evidence. And so our committee, I led the subcommittee that did the work on sustainability, and we were able to show that, in fact, a pattern of eating that is higher in plant-based foods and lower in animal-based foods is both healthy and sustainable. And the pushback really came after we submitted our technical report to the Secretaries of Health and Human Services and the USDA. And to be honest, I think what the pushback was likely political pressure from those in the livestock industry being concerned about a message going out that animal foods, especially beef, is not healthy. Beef is healthy. It's more just the amount that we're eating. And that's not just in the United States, but it's really globally. And so I think there was a lot of pushback and political pressure, not on us as scientists to do our work, but on the actual final dietary guidelines that were released.
I hate to sound like a pessimist, but having federal guidelines for food consumption hasn't seemed to sway a lot of Americans. We still have an obesity epidemic. We still have very high rates of diet-related diseases like heart disease and diabetes.